The book of Malachi, chapter 4. Malachi, chapter 4. We'll read tonight verse 2 and verse 3. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's word. Malachi chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and better would be healing in his wings. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Lord, may we see you in the imagery of these verses tonight. And Lord, as we do, may we be drawn to worship. May we rejoice with thanksgiving. May we anticipate in great faith your coming kingdom. We seek it first. And Lord, as we do, everything else we need tonight will be added unto us. So, Lord, show yourself in these verses tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me encourage you, whether you're here tonight or whether you're watching online from somewhere else, to limber your fingers this evening, because we are going to be looking at a lot of Bible verses throughout the whole Bible. And so be prepared to keep your place here in Malachi and be kind of skipping around tonight. And we do all of that for this one purpose, that we might see that this is Messiah Jesus in his kingdom. We've already answered the question from Malachi chapter 4, who is coming for this day of the Lord? Chapter 4, verse 1. Says the day is coming, and it says that the Lord of hosts is saying this. This is his day, and he is the one coming. Chapter 4, verse 5, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. It is his day, and we saw both when we studied it in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and we also saw it last week when we reviewed that this is Messiah who is coming for the day of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 2, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? So Messiah is coming. But now tonight in chapter 4, verse 2, four believers, and you see chapter 4, verse 2, but for you who fear my name. And we have established back in chapter 3, verse 16, those who feared the Lord, these are the saved. These are Jewish saved people in Malachi's day. And he's speaking now of Jewish saved people at the time of Messiah's coming. And this amazing picture is given. Verse 2, just look at it again, and we're just going to look at each word and each phrase here tonight. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Now, this is an amazing picture. And our whole point tonight is to demonstrate that this is Messiah, Jesus, in his kingdom, when he comes at his second coming. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. So we're going to look at lots of verses tonight to help you substantiate this is Jesus. And if you get that point tonight, you've got the whole point of this message. So that's why we're looking at this amazing picture. We're reminded too, this is in our Bibles, the last chapter. Chronologically, it's the last revelation of the Old Testament before the 400 silent years and then the New Testament. And so this prophecy in chapter 4, verse 2 is summarizing messianic prophecies of the Old Testament and looking to their fulfillment in the New Testament. It's positioned that way in your Bible. So, the Son of Righteousness, verse 2. This is Jesus, the Messiah. Now, the Son, S-U-N. You would not at all be shocked, probably, if this would have said S-O-N. the Son of Righteousness, you would have immediately said, that's Jesus. But it doesn't say S-O-N, it says S-U-N. This image is an image of the Son. The Son. The day star of our solar system. So, let's look at that. Is that shocking? Well, it really shouldn't be when we begin thinking about Messiah. So, keeping your place in Malachi, look with me at Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. A prophecy of Balaam, who had been a for-hire prophet, a for-profit prophet. But he does give, in the last analysis, some accurate prophecy. Numbers chapter 24, in verse 15, Balaam says, this is the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High. He has come to see some things. Who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. Verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Sheth. A prophecy of the Messiah. A star from Jacob. A scepter from Israel. Balaam's point here is the Lord is on the side of Israel and will raise up the Messiah from Israel, not from the Amalekites or any of the surrounding peoples, will be from Israel, a star from Jacob. That is a messianic prophecy. 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verses 3 and 4, words of King David near the time of his death. They are words about any good king, even about David himself. But they look to the ultimate fulfillment of this in the Messiah King, the fulfillment of the Lord's covenant with David. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is as the light of the morning when the sun rises. The king, as the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, when the tender grass springs out of the earth through sunshine after rain. The messianic king will be like morning sunlight, David prophesies. The Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Pages sticking together here. Here we go. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verses 3 and 4, God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight, and he has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Now, when it says God comes from Teman, that's not talking about the origin of God. This is talking about Jesus at his second coming. And it's talking about the route he will take in his second coming. He will come from the direction of Teman and Mount Paran. Now, you can look up your geography there. Those would be today in the country of Jordan. When Jesus comes at his second coming, he comes from east to west, and he comes over this area where Teman and Mount Paran are. Those are in the vicinity of Petra in Jordan. He comes right over that at his second coming. When he does, his splendor covers the heavens. The earth is full of his praise, and his radiance is like the sunlight. Messiah, at his second coming, is radiant like sunlight. In fact, we're going to see it is brighter than the sun itself. Rays flashing from his hand, so much so that his power will have to be hidden from those on earth at the time. This is Messiah at his second coming, again compared to the sun. Matthew in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Jesus led Peter, James, and John up on the high mountain. And verse 2, he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And in Matthew 16:28, Jesus had said what they are seeing. They will see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's what the transfiguration is. They are seeing the Son of Man, Jesus, in his kingdom. And when they do, they see that his face shone like the sun. The Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 79. These are the words of Zacharias to his son concerning his son, John the Baptist. Zacharias says, Luke 1:76, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, these words very much fit into the prophecy of Malachi, who predicted John the Baptist, Malachi 3:1, and that said that this one would be the one who prepares the way for the Messiah. Notice what Zacharias calls the Messiah, Jesus, in this passage, the sunrise, S-U-N, the sunrise from on high. Acts chapter 26. Verses 13 through 15. This is the Apostle Paul reporting on his salvation. Acts 26, 13. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Who was this light? Brighter than the sun, it was Jesus. It was Jesus confronting the Apostle Paul. The book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. In his right hand, this is now the resurrected, glorified Jesus. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Now, we've just taken a little journey here through the Bible. And there are more verses than what I've just given you, but can we say that this is sufficient to demonstrate to us that this sun, S-U-N, is the Messiah, is Jesus himself? I hope it is. If you need lots more verses, you can see me later. But this is a good sampling. We'll keep going. Malachi 4:2, the sun of righteousness. The sun of righteousness. who is the righteous one, the only righteous one? Again, keeping your place in Malachi, Isaiah chapter 24, verse 16. From the ends of the earth we hear songs, glory to the righteous one. Who is the righteous one? It is the Lord himself. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. You'll be able to see here how this matter of the Son and righteousness come together. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. In the coming millennial kingdom, no longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give its light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will set no more, neither will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be finished. Then all your people will be righteous. Jewish people in the millennial kingdom will be righteous, be saved. They will have the righteousness of Messiah. They will possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch. This is the Messiah as the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. I'll raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. That's his name. That's Messiah's name in the kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 15 and 16 say almost the identical thing. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth. He shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety, and this is the name by which he shall be called, the Lord is our righteousness. It's the Lord. It's the Messiah who is righteous. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 30. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Who is righteousness? Jesus. Who is wisdom? Jesus. Who is sanctification? Jesus. Who is redemption? Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God the Father, made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Son of Righteousness. Can you see it? It's Jesus. It's the Messiah. Now, in Malachi 4:2, it tells us the Son of Righteousness will rise. Will rise. Now you're picturing something like a sunrise. The Son of Righteousness will rise. This matter of rising, we see that a number of places as well. Let's just look at a couple of those. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Now this is the joy and glory of Israel in the millennial kingdom. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The glory of the Lord rising upon his people in his kingdom. Now, this is what Peter, James, and John saw prophetically in the Transfiguration. And we can prove that. 2 Peter chapter 1, in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, they made known the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were eyewitnesses of His majesty. They received honor, He received honor and glory from God the Father, verse 17. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Verse 18, "We ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." Now look at verse 19. "So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." Peter's saying, you better believe this word that we're telling you. It's sure, and you better believe it like a lamp shining in a dark place until what? Until it happens. Until Jesus comes to the earth in His glory as the day dawning and the morning star rising. Yes. The Son of Righteousness will rise, and this will be the dawn of the messianic millennial age. Yeah. Will rise. Back to Malachi 4:2. With healing, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing. For Israel, for the Jewish people, the millennial kingdom will be a time of great healing, of renewal. Again in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. Look at this one. Isaiah 30:26. "The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be 7 times brighter, like the light of 7 days. On the day," this is in the day of the Lord, "for the saved," the redeemed of Israel, "on the day the Lord binds up the fracture of His people and heals the bruise He has inflicted." It will be a time of healing, the healing of the nation, the healing of the planet during that time. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 6. Behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them, and I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth, and a lot more. It goes on. Healing. The book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days and will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. When Messiah comes again to the earth, there will be healing. Yes, there will be judgment. He will come in judgment, but that judgment is for the lost. For the saved, they will enter into the millennial kingdom, and there will be healing for them. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing. Malachi 4:2, in its wings. And I hope you can see by now why I say in his wings is better. Because this Son is a person. In his wings. Now, the Son with wings? Why would Malachi talk about that? The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Well, I put a picture on your notes. It's a picture, comes from Egypt, and it's a picture of the Egyptian sun god Ra. And this image was found on many little discs and things all over Egypt. Here it is carved into the side of a rock. And I hope you can see it there. There's a circle in the middle. Actually, there's a bird's head on top of that circle. And then there are these wings spreading out. These are counterfeit pagan images of the sun god with wings. Yeah. And Malachi knew about this. It was all around him in his day. He knew about the pagan sun gods. And just by an application for today, practically speaking, you do know, I think, that all evolutionists are in practice sun worshipers. Yeah, they are. Because all of their various theories of evolution posit something that comes originally from the sun. Whether it's the Big Bang or whatever it is, it comes from the sun. Now, do you remember in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1? There was no sun until day 4 of creation. So, somehow, evolutionists are positing a pre-existent, maybe even eternal, sun from which everything else comes. That's making the sun their god. They are sun worshipers. Okay? Now, let's say it crassly. They are pagan sun worshipers. And they can call it science all they want to. It's not good science. It's not accurate science. It's not factual science. It's their theory based on their presuppositions. And that's all it is. And their sun god operates by the principles of time and chance. You've heard Dr. McMurtry say it this way: for the evolutionist, give us enough time and anything can happen. Right? That's why they've gone from thousands of years to millions of years to billions of years, and they're going to trillions of years, and it will never stop. Because for their sun god to do anything, they just need more and more and more and more time. They will never get there because it's not the way it is. So you can see this picture, and it is the picture of an image that was all over the Middle East. At the time of Malachi, he could have seen this. Why did Malachi call the Messiah the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings? Do you know what he just did? He just completely smashed all of the pagan sun god worship. He just completely smashed it. He just said, do you want to know who the real Son of Righteousness with wings is? It's Yahweh. It's not Ra. The pagan gods are defeated, and Jesus at his second coming proves to be the one true God. The Egyptian gods are smashed. The evolutionary gods are smashed. That's what's happening in this image. So that's the counterfeit pagan imagery of this. The Jewish imagery, now, you know, obviously you're trying to make some comparison between the rays of the sun and wings. But it's interesting that even the Egyptians in doing that had to put a bird's head on the thing to make that work. And they made that then to look like wings. Now the Jewish imagery of the Lord's wings, and again, we could look at many verses here tonight, but one that I think you know, Psalm 91, verse 4, just as an example, there are lots of them, especially in the Psalms, about the Lord's wings. Psalm 91, 4, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. The Jewish imagery is imagery of refuge, of healing, of protection. You remember Jesus, Matthew 23, verse 37. Jesus said concerning Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wing. The protection, the healing of the Lord. That's what this pictures. Now, I don't think we have any Jewish rabbis here with us tonight. If we did, especially if we had some Orthodox rabbis, they would tell you part of the imagery of the prayer shawl has to do with Malachi 4:2 and these wings. Remember the prayer shawl at each of the four corners has tassels. Those tassels are knotted in a way that spell out Yahweh, the name of God. But rabbis would say they also represent these wings like the rays of light from the sun are represented as wings in this imagery. And that's why Malachi says there is healing. in his wings. Now let's illustrate this for you. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. You remember it. There was a woman with an issue of blood, and she had tried all kinds of things to get help and healing. And what did she do? She reached out and touched the fringe of Jesus' garment. That is, she reached out and touched the tassels of his prayer shawl. Why? Jesus said she believed. She had faith. She believed there was healing in his wings. And so she was just reaching out to touch the symbol of that in the tassels of his prayer shawl. And Jesus said, what? Your faith has healed you. It wasn't touching the prayer shawl that healed her. It was her faith that did that. There is protection. There is healing under the wings of Messiah. And that will be the case all throughout the millennial kingdom, as it already is for those who believe even now. Can you see it? The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Come on, is that Jesus? It has to be. It is the Messiah. Now, the passage concludes with this imagery of Jewish believers in Messiah's kingdom day. The day of the Lord, yes, it is the tribulation for the lost, but it is the kingdom for the saved. Messiah's kingdom, that day of the Lord, the end of verse 3, the day which I am preparing. And Jewish believers in Messiah's kingdom day, at the end of verse 2, they'll be going forth in freedom, in joy, skipping about like calves from the stall. They will also, in verse 3, be treading upon the ashes of those unsaved who have been consumed by the fire of the day of the Lord judgment. That was verse 1, which we saw last time. That day of the Lord judgment is the coming tribulation period. Jewish believers in the millennial kingdom will tread on the ashes of those who were burnt in judgment fire during the tribulation period. Now, there are many more verses about the millennial kingdom, and do you realize they are in the Old Testament? The promise of kingdom life is promised in the Old Testament. Now, we're not going to look at all of these tonight, but understand what some of them talk about. Isaiah 65, the fortunes of Israel will be restored. Everyone who enters the kingdom in a mortal, physical body, that is, that they have not yet been glorified like we will be at that point. But they are expected to live the entire 1,000 years. Isaiah says, if somebody dies at the age of 100, everybody will say, poor baby, and think that he's accursed. Isaiah 65 says, people will live longer than trees. You know. Yeah. That's life in the kingdom. The fortunes of Israel will be restored. The land will all be given to them, and it will be restored, and it will flourish. The curse is lifted from the planet. You know, they will be able to farm in the millennial kingdom. And it says the plowman will overtake the reaper. You know why? There'll be so little to plow, you know, you won't have to pull out weeds and thistles and all. Those were the result of the curse. Remember that in Genesis? There will be abundance, flowing, joy, rejoicing, all of that in the millennial kingdom. Begin to look at some of these verses. And I hope you will learn to read your Old Testament in light of, you say, well, it's all fulfilled in Christ. Well, yes, it is. But you know what? It wasn't all fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. Some of it's fulfilled at the second coming of Christ and beyond. Yes, it's all fulfilled in Christ, but it's fulfilled in his second coming. And here tonight is an illustration of that. Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, the bright and morning star, the day star rising with healing in his wings, will care and take all of his people under his wings in the millennial kingdom. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? You and I will be there in glorified bodies. The people Malachi is talking about will enter in their physical bodies, not yet glorified. It'll be something to see. So may this encourage you tonight to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's what Jesus said to do, isn't it? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight. We have looked at a lot to really attempt to see one thing: Jesus, You are the Son of Righteousness who will rise with healing in Your wings. Lord, that is You. Lord, we thank You. We worship You. We look to You. And we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray it in Your name. Amen.